once again on the bridge between Newcastle and Gateshead. There's a lot of press around by the looks of things. I don't know if the bridge is going to go up any minute. We'd better get this conversation in the bag. Can you pronounce your name and Twitter name?
Stephen Batish. S. Batish is my Twitter name.
And what's your job title?
I'm Director of Research for the Applied Sciences Group at Microsoft.
Yesterday, I was massively inspired by your talk. I was inspired by lots of talks, but I just thought, this is, I so want all of this now. The technology you showed, the interaction with technology, the devices, the possibility of this invisible technology that just exists all around us. You showed me some really interesting, you termed it brilliantly, the kind of three-dimensional viewer-aware screen system. Well, give me more about that.
Yeah, so we're talking about some technology that we're working on that we use camera technology, like Kinect, for example, to track people. So we know where people are and standing in front of the screen, and then we use a very unique optical component that we've been working on in the group called a wedge. The wedge is really a flat lens that allows you to actually project the light through a liquid crystal display, all in a really thin form factor, to the people that you're tracking. And even more importantly, you can even track it and project the light to each individual eye, thereby enabling autostereoscopic 3D without glasses. And because we can track multiple people and steer the beam to multiple directions, we can give each person their own unique image. So you and I could be watching television, but watching completely two different channels. And you attach audio steering technology with that. You know, it's called beamforming. Then you and I can literally be just sitting together, just hanging out. You know, I could be watching my sports, and you know, you could be watching your cooking channel, and just hanging out. One of my favorite examples is, you and I could be playing Xbox. And you know how today, when you're in the same room playing Xbox, we get the split screen mode when we're playing multiplayer. And so, I just paid, this awesome money for this awesome, huge flat screen TV. But then when I'm playing multiplayer, I get half of it and half the resolution. And not only that, I can cheat by looking over to your screen and see where you just got me, right? So with this tech, because we're able to project the light, because we know where you are and we're able to project the light to you, you can't see what I see. And I can't see what you can see, and we get the full screen, full resolution image of the television. So you can get really cool gaming with something like that.
That blew me away, as it still does when you explain it again, even simpler than you did yesterday, actually. So it's truly sinking in. But it's kind of a lead up to this magic window, magic mirror. I'm trying to explain. Picture a classroom in Pakistan and a classroom in India, and the countries don't necessarily get on. And I know there's been some really, really interesting kind of social networking experiments between the two sides because the kids don't have any problems with each other. I saw this kind of demo of what looked like just a partition pane of glass between two classrooms that were in completely different geographical locations, and the children that were in... Oh, it gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. The children that are interfacing with the glass had such phenomenal Minority Report-esque interaction that worked on so many different levels, yet they could see each other through the glass and almost touch each other through the glass.
Yeah, and that's a concept we call the magic window, and it really is one of the ultimate displays. So it's kind of a North Star for us to, take all this technology, and it's kind of the pyramid, the apex that we're headed towards. And yesterday I showed the kind of the building blocks that actually allows us to get there. And the vision is, the premise really first is that we're trying to work on technology where it's really complicated, but not obviously complicated to the user. It's, technology needs to get out of the way so that, you and I can have the interaction, because that's what's important. Human-to-human interaction is, in the end game, what really computers are all about. Not, a human interact with a metal box. That's not the objective in computing. The objective of computing is to do the computing on your behalf, and so that it'll enable you and I to do the interaction. So this magic window, is a device that when you see it, connects two seemingly disparate parts of the world together, but it would be as if, as you said, you're separated by literally a pane of glass, and it's the illusion of that separation that's really powerful. So you can actually walk, back and forth, left to right, in front of this pane of glass, and it'll look like you're looking into another room on the other side. You can't really do that today, right? It's very flat, it's kind of a painting, almost a 2D flat sort of view that you get. You can walk up to the display, and the display can see you because we're using this imaging technology through the display. You can put your hand up onto the display. The light from your hand is being reflected off and traveling through the display. And so the display is actually truly bi-directional. We call it, it's actually a bi-directional light field display in that the display is able to project the light fields that are necessary in order for you to get the illusion that you're looking into a window. And at the same time, it's able to capture all the light through the display so that it can re-render that image on the other side.
So this window with the illusion of transparency is in fact a huge two-way camera lens, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it's a two-way camera lens and has the ability to be a display at the same time.
Was it Orwell wrote in 1984? In the corner of every room will be a screen which will see you. We have that now, obviously, with our little cameras above our screens. But you are making the screen see you.
Yeah, I mean, the idea is obviously to, get more information through the computer so that the computer can compute on your behalf. And so that, and in the end of the day, you can do what you need to do and work and connect across the world and talk to people.
Is Microsoft undertaking some kind of social experiment by unleashing people like you on conferences like Thinking Digital?
I don't think it's
where else does this happen though? I mean, I only get to hear about what companies like Apple are doing through, oh look, there's a scratchy little patent just been leaked that may be Apple's new thing. I've never seen anybody stand up and say, this is what we're working on. Why is this?
To be frank, I don't really know. We have thousands of pretty amazing high-class researchers in the company. I mean,
so you can talk about it without the fear of someone going, hey, let's do that ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, that's the whole point of having a research in a corporation. And, I would say Microsoft has had a world-class research group for a long time. And, and a part of the research group's role is to, peer review the work that they do. And that involves, taking the work that they're doing and publishing that material and getting it, getting feedback, getting that peer reviewed so that, you can evolve your work as a result of, the greater scientific community. And that's part of what this is. And so it's nothing really new. I think maybe just people are maybe getting more exposed to it or being more aware of it. And that's as simple as that.
Any news on the silent rolling luggage, unlike the one we just heard go past just now? What if you were given an unlimited budget and a lab all to yourself, what would you choose to work on?
What I'm doing right now. Yeah, and absolutely, 100%. And Microsoft has been extremely supportive in the research direction that we're currently going in, and the work direction we're doing. And it mainly because the work that we chose, it's very practically based, right? Our intention is to not create this, technology that, maybe like, 2 decades from now you might be able to see it. No, we're actually trying. We have a very pragmatic, practical approach to the work that we want to do. And Microsoft has been extremely supportive for a long time in giving us really a beautiful lab and the resources that we need to execute on those ideas. Yeah, absolutely. Right now I'm really passionate about this technology, mainly because, I like people, and I think the technology I'm working on is, in the end of the day, really about connecting people.
And you're doing that as well by let's walk over the bridge and carry on, because we're both a little bit late. But I wouldn't have sacrificed this conversation for anything.
It's your fault, though.
It's a real eye opener. We're about to walk past. Yeah, it is my fault. We're about to walk past a camera and
good looking guys.
A guy having an interview, which we've just stepped in. We're probably on the telly right now. I'm sure our conversation was slightly more interesting than the guy that looks like he's from the council. Sometimes I get scared by this. Sometimes I get desperately inspired, just incredibly inspired. I wonder, some people say there are labs with technology 10 years in advance of anything that we get to see on the street. Do the military have a bigger budget than Microsoft, or has Microsoft got a separate wing that you can't talk about that I'm trying to squeeze out of you now that does stuff that, I mean, those videos, how do I know they were mock-ups? Maybe we have this stuff.
Well, I assure you they're not mock-ups. You know, one of my favorite quotes that I quote is from William Gibson, and it's that the future is already here, it's just not evenly distributed. And oftentimes when you want to understand and see what's next, you just got to look around, and sometimes it's just right in front of you or just off to the side. And then you can potentially, with a little bit of a tweak, imagine what the future could actually look like. It doesn't really take a huge leap sometimes to imagine such a future. But, most of the long term, where we actually publish a lot of that work, because we're in the research community, and the further out it is, the more fuzzy really things are. And no one's really, has such great clairvoyance that, you can see, 10, 20 years out in the future. It's just not, not possible. Now, people can have a vision and they want to strive for that vision, but, it's really hard to actually, really have that crystal ball.
And by putting this out there, it's doing a lot of good for everybody who is looking for the direction which they want to take their research. And hopefully, together, everybody can still make enough money to keep their research and companies going, but we get there faster as well.
Absolutely. And that's really one of the big reasons to talk about this and share about this, is to help inspire people and companies that, this is actually a future possibility and direction. I mean, I've had so many people walk up to me and say, I didn't even know that this was possible. This concept was even possible, let alone the technology was even possible. And that idea, that seed, planting that seed is really powerful. I mean, that's how you change and influence the future. And that is in some of the ways how you can get, many pieces in the machine all kind of aligned and organized so that you can eventually create that future. Because no one company can really do it all on alone, right? You need people around you. You need companies around you. You need people to help you create that future.
Well, thank you for sharing what you did yesterday. We're in a state-of-the-art building with state-of-the-art acoustics, with pretty damn good projectors, yet you turn that projector on and turn the screen on the wall into some weird window into the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.